The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
I saw a pale horse,
the beast.
We're told in the book of Revelation.
This is not a human child.
Isn't an angel?
Satan.
Armageddon is almost upon us.
Order the use of nuclear weapons.
The world is a fine place and worth fighting for.
From one end of the world to the other.
Welcome to the end of the world.
Wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. This is PID Radio.
Greetings from the heartland of America. I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert, everybody, and welcome to our humble bunker, our still snowy bunker.
The winter weather advisory was supposed to end by about 7 o'clock this morning, and they kept extending it. It's still in effect as of
I've come to the conclusion that we're in a Twilight Zone episode. I found myself earlier dreaming about how it was so hot outside, and I was getting a fever, and I was painting these pictures of the sun over and over and over and over again, and then suddenly – well, someone shook me, and it turned out that, no, it's the end of the world outside because it's so cold.
At least there's no, you know, cute little toe-headed kid wishing people into the cornfield. So
yet.
Well, today.
But who's that guy over there smoking the cigarette?
Today, January 12th, 2011. And a lot of things happening out there, but you wouldn't know it for all of the news coverage, fixation, I would call it, on what happened in Tucson over the weekend.
You know,
and that is a trip.
Absolutely. We condemn what happened in Tucson.
Absolutely.
And we are grieving with the families, praying for the families of everybody concerned. We're so delighted that Gabby is recovering.
Mm-hmm.
Gabrielle Giffords, that she is recovering well. And we wish her family all the best.
Yep.
But, you know, to use this as cannon fodder from one aisle to the next is ridiculous.
Yeah. And please understand that when we talked about this over the last couple of days and we pointed out some of the ways it was being used as political cannon fodder, we were not taking a particular stand. We were basically saying a pox on both their houses.
Absolutely. We don't believe in either side. We're neither left nor right.
We're somewhere
in that radical middle.
The radical
which
center.
Means that we get pummeled by both sides.
That's right. It's like having a house in the middle of the road. Your lawn always has tire tracks on it. So anyway.
That's a good one, honey.
I'll write that one down.
What was it earlier you said? We were talking, we heard that Democrats prefer to be called progressives. And I said, we must be regressives. And you said.
No, we're egressives because we're getting out of this racket. We're making an egress. Exit stage left.
Or right.
Stage
or
right. Or, yeah. We're just coming right off the front of the stage.
We're just going
down
straight
into
up.
The audience.
Going straight up.
Amen. Well, while this is going on, and one of the reasons we bring this up is because very often when the news is consumed with one particular topic, and the last couple of days has been all about, is it conservative talk or liberal talk that's responsible for Jared Lee Loeffner allegedly pulling a gun and killing six people? Glenn Beck did make an excellent point this afternoon that even when we had the fairness doctrine, which has been raised again by some Democratic congressmen, which is to restrict the type of political talk that can air on public airwaves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the FCC had this in effect until the Reagan administration. But while the Fairness Doctrine was in effect, Kennedy was assassinated, Martin Luther King was assassinated, Robert F. Kennedy was assassinated.
Right, but I also said to you, in all fairness, that at the time that those events happened, for the most part, we did not have as many talk radio shows. And we
certainly, because of the Fairness Doctrine.
Exactly.
Right.
But since then, we have tons of talk radio shows, and I think it's wonderful.
Sure, absolutely.
I think the more we get to air our opinions, the better off we are as Americans.
Right. And if you look back in the 19th century, they didn't have any radio then. They just had newspapers. And we still had politicians settling grievances with dueling pistols at 10 paces. So let's not blame this on the political rhetoric via the public airwaves. So that, just set that aside. But what we should notice is that when the media is fixated on one topic, something else big is going on out there, and we'd like to direct your attention to something right now that has drawn the attention of the United States Navy, the Commander-in-Chief, and our naval has directed our naval forces to send the USS Enterprise Strike Group, which includes some 6,000 American servicemen and women, to the Eastern Mediterranean Sea.
Now, in all fairness, a few days ago, there is an article that says that they were on their way, but they were on their way to the Persian Gulf.
Right. They've been redirected.
They have been redirected to head toward the coasts of Israel and Lebanon.
That's because today, January 12th, it became word that enough ministers representing Hezbollah in the Lebanese parliament have resigned to cause the government to collapse, in a sense.
If one-third of the members were to leave, then that requires that the government essentially stand down.
Yeah.
30 members, 11 left.
Yeah, no
you
quorum.
Do the math.
No
yeah.
quorum. And the reason that Hezbollah has essentially withdrawn from the government is that the Special Tribunal for Lebanon, the STL, which was formed
That's
by
St. Louis.
Well, yeah.
Sorry.
Spelled differently. It's a little T with a dot after the T.
Anyway, like
the Special Tribunal for Lebanon was formed by the United Nations in cooperation with Lebanon, but I suspect there was some arm twisting there, to investigate the assassination of former Prime Minister Rafik Harari. Harari was killed on December 2nd of, was it 2009?
No, he was 2006, maybe?
Let's see, 2005. I'm sorry, February 14th of 2005. So this has been ongoing for years, this investigation, and it had been announced that and it was a really gruesome way to go, too. The equivalent of about 1,000 kilograms of TNT blew up his motorcade in Beirut. The UN announced this special tribunal to investigate who was responsible, and word came out that they were close to announcing some indictments and that it was likely that some Hezbollah officials would be named in this indictment. So Hezbollah withdrew from the government. The Lebanese government has collapsed, and the country is essentially in crisis. There are some reports coming out of Israel now that everyone is on edge. Israel is on standby, and of course, they're kind of halfway on standby all the time anyway. And the not only United States, but the government of France is sending military forces to the region.
You know, Sarkozy has been involved in the so-called talks to keep this from happening, essentially. Mm-hmm. Sarkozy, the United States, Hillary Clinton has been in there, of course, representing the United States, but also representatives from Saudi Arabia and Syria.
Mm-hmm. And
I bet Syria is just sick about this.
Yeah, Syria has exerted a lot of influence in Lebanon for years. They've essentially, for long periods of time, essentially run Lebanon as a puppet state.
I picture Syria dancing on their desks right now.
Yeah. So what may come of this? Looking at we've said before, you can't see headlines like this coming out of that region of the world without considering some prophetic implications.
No, I think about the possibilities of Psalm 82, maybe. I mean, 83.
Mm-hmm. That's very possible. This is a tense situation, and Iran has its fingers in a number of these pies. Benjamin Netanyahu said just the other day, talking to foreign journalists, and the other day, yesterday, January 11th, that some 60,000 missiles and rockets, all of Iranian and Syrian origin, are now pointed at Israel, and most of them by Hezbollah. But while this was going on Monday, another story that didn't get much attention here in the United States because of all the discussion about the tragedy in Tucson, Israel's Air Force conducted a series of strikes on what it said were terrorist targets and smuggling tunnels in the Gaza Strip. According to Debka, a Debka file, which is an intelligence-based news source, intelligence-related news source, or based out of Tel Aviv, that these were in fact underground bunkers, command centers for Hamas, which had been constructed by Iran's Revolutionary Guard's engineers.
Oh, in fact, I've seen that same accusation, and there is no doubt that Iran is waiting in the wings, and if something does happen to Lebanon, as far as the government truly falling apart, I mean, right now they can call new elections, and it could be that they'll vote all of Hezbollah, and I don't know. But if they were to fall apart militarily, Iran would definitely go in along with Syria.
Yeah, absolutely. It could really be an ugly situation there. So meanwhile, and there was an interesting headline that popped up today that Hamas, while it was having its brand new, as yet probably unused underground bunkers being taken out by the Israeli Air Force, they were putting pressure on other groups in the Gaza Strip, like Islamic Jihad, to stop rocket attacks on Israel. And this is a news article just posted this afternoon, Wednesday the 11th, at the Jerusalem Post.
Is it possible that they're trying to set up Israel to make it look Israel look like the aggressor?
Well, it's possible. Maybe to get some breathing space. If they call a ceasefire, maybe Israel will quit striking targets in the Gaza Strip until the engineers from Iran have completed their work. The Iranians are really cheesed at the number of nuclear scientists that they've lost in recent months. There has been a very quiet, and again, this is news that's not widely reported in the United States, and I have not done the research on this, so I don't know how many, but reading a report again from Debka File that a number of nuclear scientists in Iran have been killed or died under mysterious circumstances in recent months as part of an ongoing low-level campaign against to take out Iran's or degrade Iran's nuclear capabilities, whether it's being led by Mossad or the CIA, we don't know. But
there's an article from Time claiming that, the headline implies that Israel is behind it, Mossad.
Sure. And Iran certainly won't hesitate to use this or anything else to blame Israel. But this is in retaliation, according to the sources cited at Debka, for the attacks on its nuclear scientists.
So. Well, let's just bear this in mind that the government of Israel is fallen, just like all the other governments of the world.
Mm-hmm.
They have not turned to their true king, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach,
mm-hmm.
their true Messiah. They have not turned to him. They will in the future, but they haven't yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're relying upon human government, and it's failing them, and humans there are listening to, fallen spirits the same as the governments worldwide. So to expect Israel to be somehow blameless, I think is being naive.
Right. So,
but we still have to pray for them because
absolutely.
They are the chosen people of God. In the Old Testament, it was clear Israel was just failing left and right. They were just worshiping other gods, worshiping other
right.
gods, worshiping other gods. Just because they're doing that still doesn't mean that we stop praying for them.
That's right. They are the chosen people, and there will be a role for them in the end times. So,
that is where Jesus Christ is going to reign.
Mm-hmm. Jerusalem.
Yes, absolutely. And I mentioned Psalm 83 earlier, and it's very clear if you take a look at this that we are to pray, as Israel should be praying now, that God Almighty will, if these enemies line up the way they are prophesied in Psalm 83, because this group has never, as a coalition, come into Israel. So if this coalition gets together, which it could in mm-hmm. the next few weeks or months, we are definitely to pray now and then that God Almighty will turn them back.
Well, let's look at Psalm 83 and get into that just a little bit.
Well, keep thou silence, O God, hold not thy peace, and be not still, O God, for lo, thine enemies make a tumult, and they hate thee. They that hate thee have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones. They have said, come, let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may no more be in remembrance. For they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against thee, the tabernacles of Edom, and the Ishmaelites of Moab, and the Hagarenes, and Gebal, and Ammon, and Amalek, and the Philistines with the inhabitants of Tyre. Assur also is joined with them. They have helped the children of Lot.
Mm-hmm. And that basically gives you all of the nations surrounding Israel
mm-hmm.
right now. Edom, the Ishmaelites, Arabs, Moab, which...
Gebal, Lebanon.
Right, as is the people of Tyre.
Mm-hmm.
Asher would be, Assyria, which
mm-hmm.
is modern
Assyria.
Iraq.
Assyria, uh-huh.
Philistia, of course, the Philistia is the root word from which we get Palestine and Palestinians today.
Mm-hmm.
And the Hagrites would be Egypt.
Yes. Hagar.
Mm-hmm. Right. So you've got the, essentially, it's almost the same coalition that you saw, though, in the 1967 war.
It's almost the Arab states.
Yeah. So we did see in the Six Days War back in 67 a similar confederation.
But not exactly this confederation is what I have read in many, many experts online. That and again, this is – I don't personally, you know, have followed the lineage from the – this is something I wish – I could do. I don't have time. I have to rely upon other experts to come along and tell me.
I know how you feel.
Who the, you know, the Gebal means and where the Amalek settled. But according to everything I have read, this particular coalition has yet to invade Israel as a coalition.
Right. And talked with... And now his name is going to escape me, and I feel bad about this. But to talk with a prophecy analyst who's
I sort of remember that you did speak with someone, and I'm just as poor as you are.
Yeah, who'd written a book about the Psalm 83 war, and it seems interesting that the Psalm 83 war would and his working theory was that the Psalm 83 war would precede the Ezekiel 38 war.
I think that there are a number of prophecy scholars who believe
Bill
that.
Salas. That's who I'm thinking of.
I was
Bill
about
Salas.
To look it up myself.
Yeah. S-A-L-U-S.
Oh, there it is. I found it too.
Yeah, and his website.
VFT episode 54.
Okay.
054.
You'll
Bill Salas and the Psalm 83 War.
Yeah, you'll find that at vftb.net. So worth looking into now, especially following the news events that are popping up today. Now, are we sounding the alarm and saying, you know, get your bug out bag and
no
stretch. Just something to pay attention to, though, that isn't being as widely reported here in the U.S. As it should be, because again, we are talking about the Holy Land here, and these events, regardless of when they take place, they always have that prophetic weight about them.
They really do. And let me just say this. Jesus Christ is the authority on all these things.
Mm-hmm.
And his advice was not get your bug out bag. He says, when you see all these things happening, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh.
Mm-hmm.
Rejoice.
So just keep an eye on what's happening there and just pray. Pray for the people there, because for the vast majority of the people in the Middle East, on all sides, just as here in the United States and anywhere in the world, most of us just want to be left alone so we can live our lives, raise our children peaceably, to be good, productive, happy adults. We just want to be left alone. But the enemy has enough influence with enough people that has never been the case for very long in any part of the world, and especially when it comes to the land around Jerusalem.
That's true. Amen. So. A little addendum to what I said just a moment ago, and that is there is one time when Jesus Christ does say, flee. And that is when you see the abomination of desolation. Mm. And that message is to Jews.
Right.
To his people Israel. They are to flee.
You know, and interestingly, I read that in AD 70, when the Romans surrounded Jerusalem, the Christian community in Jerusalem saw that and said, this must be what he meant. And they lit out and they were able to, you know, survive the destruction of Jerusalem for the most part.
Well, the interesting thing about that is that very often you have an immediate fulfillment of a prophecy, and then to prove that it's true prophecy. Because if you have to wait 2,000 years to find out if something's real, you don't really know if that guy's for real.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you have one that comes very quickly and then one that's far in the future. So it could be that they looked at that and said, oh, this is the new one. This is the near one. Let's go.
Yeah, very possibly. And, you know, just to rabbit trail for just a second, I think that the destruction of Jerusalem is really significant in dating the Gospels, in dating when the records of Jesus were written down, especially in Luke's Gospel, because Luke starts out and says very clearly that he was writing a record of all things that have happened so that the person, we presume a person to whom he was writing, most excellent Theophilus, would have a clear record of what had gone on before. So he would know that the things that he had been taught were true.
Mm-hmm. And if he didn't mention it, then...
Well, right. And the book of Acts is essentially the second part, which was also written by Luke. It was essentially the second part of the Gospel of Luke.
Right.
And it ended with Paul in Rome before Paul had been killed, which is one clue, because Paul was killed somewhere around 64 A.D. Mm-hmm. And the destruction of Jerusalem, which had been prophesied by Jesus, is not mentioned in any of the four Gospels. And you think that the Gospel writers, in order to say, because they knew that this happened just as Jesus had prophesied, you think that would have been added in there at some point.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it makes sense. Now, is that absolute proof? No, but I think it's strong evidence that the liberal dating of the Gospels to the latter 20 years or so of the first century is off base. So anyway, just thought I'd throw that in there.
Okay, now here we've been down the bunny trail. Well, hundreds of fish meet an icy death in a frozen pond. That's from the Mail Online today.
More random death?
Well, I think they're just, I think it is so cold in some areas. I mean, remember during what was our summer, it was the winter down in South America. It was so incredibly cold down there during mm-hmm. that winter that they lost millions and millions of fish. So it's not surprising that if they're having an extraordinarily cold winter over in the UK, that they may lose some wildlife. So
sure.
I think that jumping on any kind of, screaming, oh my gosh, more dead fish. But the crickets are dying, and that concerns me.
Really?
If you have a reptile at home.
Mm-hmm.
And we only have a dachshund. He's, despite rumors, he's not a reptile. They eat crickets for the most part.
Right.
And you buy those, apparently, we don't own a reptile. I never have. Apparently, you buy crickets in a pet store or something. Mm-hmm. And there are little farms that raise these. And apparently, there's a virus going through the crickets. And these little cricket farmers are going under. They're going out of business because their stock is dead.
Wow. And that's a tough job, too. I mean, have you ever tried to round up a herd of crickets? I mean, cricket herding is really difficult.
Worm farming is really hard. You ever try to herd worms?
No. But that is a serious thing because there's a chain of events that follows from that. It's like, the first domino falling. The cricket supply dries up, then what happens to the lizards? And then, just the food chain will
Well, and the
like
question is this virus going to go through only the crickets? And why are these crickets susceptible to that? I mean, you could get into a lot of questions about that. I have a question as to why you don't see it. This really is a left turn. Why the news doesn't really talk too much about cholera in Haiti. I mean, it's been a year almost since the Haiti earthquake, and Haiti is no better off now than they were immediately after the quake for the most part. They have pulled everybody out of the rubble, but they are still digging fresh graves. They have not gotten over this cholera epidemic. Is there something different about this cholera epidemic?
I don't know
the answer to that. I'm asking anybody that may know.
Yeah. No, I don't know. And you're right. We don't hear anything about it. It's like even when a story continues to be very, real and fresh to the people who are living through it, here in the West, we get bored.
Mm-hmm.
And so
mm-hmm.
the news cycle has to come up with something else new to replace it. And so the people in Haiti who are still in need of everything are being pushed off the evening news because that's old news. That's boring.
Yeah.
Show us more about this weirdo in Tucson.
Did you know that over in Germany that they are having to kill pigs and they had to throw away all these chickens, kill chickens and throw away all these eggs because of dioxin in the feed?
No.
That went to all of these animals?
Huh?
If I understand this correctly, the problem was identified last March, and only now are we seeing these stories that the food supply is being eliminated and people are they're terrified to eat any pork product, any chicken product.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess the cattle are running for cover.
Yeah.
Because they're the only ones left.
Well, apparently it
especially with the fish all dying.
was located in a single farm in Lower Saxony. So the number of pigs slaughtered is in the hundreds, unlike South Korea with the swine flu there, or the hoof and mouth, rather, where they were burying up to 1 million pigs alive because they couldn't get rid of them.
Oh,
they couldn't kill them
I know. Well, it's been going on. Apparently, 4,700 German farms were shut down, and thousands of hens culled in 8 German states to try to prevent food supplies from being contaminated from the tainted feed. Eggs from some of those farms were exported to Britain and the Netherlands for food processing, according to German and European Union authorities.
Yeah.
The Germans say the eggs pose little health risks. That's easy to say.
Yeah.
Dioxin is not something you want to play with. It is.
No.
And sadly, it's just about everywhere.
Yeah, no, you're right. I was mistaken. I looked at the wrong part of the article and didn't see the number 4,700 farms closed down. It's considerably larger than I thought. But the number of pigs destroyed so far is still pales by comparison to what's going on.
Yeah, well, I think they're just now realizing that it's in the pigs. They've been getting rid of the eggs for a while now.
Hmm. Well, you know, just stuff happening all over. But as we said before, you know, Jesus warned us that all of these things would come. And, you know, we're to be aware of these things so that we're not caught by surprise and caught off guard. And, you know, and again, the reason that we talk about some of the political things that are happening, the political maneuvering, is so that we're not putting our trust in these political solutions to problems that stem from, well, sin.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. And while we talk about putting together a food pantry. And, of course, the reason we say that, the reason we say to stock up on food is, yes, to feed your own family, but to feed the families around you as well, to share the gospel as you share a loaf of bread with your neighbor. And if your neighbor comes in with a gun and says, give me all your bread, you say, here you go. Here, take the bread. You don't have to use your gun. We're here to share with you. And while we're at it, we'll share the gospel. And if that neighbor refuses to hear it, you know, the Lord will protect you. I firmly believe it. And He may do it by taking you home. We don't know. But if you have the opportunity to stock up, you know, do it. Just don't do it on German eggs.
Yeah, good point. And you know, Jesus pointed out that those people and those towns who will not hear the message, and there are many out there who won't. He said, you know, it will be worse for them at the judgment than it will be for Sodom and Gomorrah. And that's a pretty harsh thing to say.
That's a strong statement.
So, you know, while it doesn't seem to solve the immediate need that we as humans have for instant revenge or, you know, a sense of our own, you know, righteous anger to be fulfilled, we're not working on the same timeline as God is. So, you know, leave it to Him. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. And sometimes that means we've got to take it in the, you know, on the chin for a while.
I like your chin.
I like yours too. You don't want it, you know, dented or anything, but
oh, that's anyway. Okay. My corruptible chin is going to take on incorruptible one of these days, and nothing's going to dent it then.
Amen. Amen. Well, just a program note, looking ahead to Friday. I won't be here Friday, so there will not be a PID.
You're
radio.
Not?
No, I'm...
I know, I know.
Be,
yeah. It's the secret, I won't say.
The mission, yes.
I know.
Yeah, I'll be away on business, but we'll be returning Friday night. Not in time for VFTB Live, though. View from the Bunker will be pre-recorded this week. Last night I had just a wonderful conversation with Dr. Joseph Farrell. He's written some really fascinating books, including the Giza Death Star, the SS Brotherhood of the Bell, Nazi International. He's got a brand new book that's just out called LBJ and the Plot to Kill Kennedy. And, boy, you know, you bring – it's almost like the unified field conspiracy theory of the 20th century. He's got Nazis. He's got NASA. He's got oil men. He's got the mafia in there. It's really some out-of-the-box thinking. But as he describes it, there was a confluence of interests served by the assassination of President John F. Kennedy. And
A conversation.
Yeah.
What a conversation. Yeah. Well, speaking of conversations, we hope to have either Joe or Nita Horn in here next week to talk about what happened on the Horn farm. So much to come.
Yes, keep them in prayer. And until next time, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. PID Radio is a production of the PID Radio Network, a division of Gilbert House. Please visit our website at PIDradio.com, where you'll find show notes and links to connect with us on Twitter and Facebook. We wish to thank all those who help undergird and underwrite our ministry through prayers, feedback, and donations. To contact us directly, email us at radio@peeringintodarkness.com. Opening music adapted from The Alchemist's Tower by Kevin MacLeod, www.incompetech.com. Closing music, New Day Coming by Steve Grace, stevegrace.com. Content, copyright Gilbert House, and is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derives 3.0 Unported License. For more information, see creativecommons.org.
Gonna step up to the microphone, say it loud and clear. A better day is coming soon to get us out of here. Yeah.